Podcast. It is Wednesday, February the 6th. Thank you so much for tuning in with me today. I am your host, Eddie Lindenstein, as always, and I wanted to kick off the episode the same way that I do every week by thanking the patrons of the show. Remember, you can become a patron of the show by going to patreon.com/ The Mind and Fitness Podcast. So I wanted to first give a shout out to Sarah, who's a patron of the show. Thank you to Helen, who's also a patron of the show, Arnie, Barbara, and Kim, all patrons of the show. So thank you so much for the support. Supporting the show, basically keeping the lights on. So it has been a wild week. If you live in the Pacific Northwest like I do up here in the Seattle area, we just got blasted with snow, and there's not so much. I mean, I can't say we were anything like how the Midwest was with the polar vortex or whatever it was they called it a couple of weeks ago, but it's crazy because usually I feel like, at least in this region, when the forecasters, the meteorologists, when they give like a prediction for what the weather's going to be, you know, typically they may say something like, it's going to be the snowstorm of the year, 15 inches, 2 feet, you know, you're not going to be able to leave your house for a week, things like that. And then it ends up being an inch or a couple of inches or maybe even nothing. In this case, the thought was, you know, like 2 to 3 inches of snow, and that would probably be it. And then we woke up the day before yesterday on Monday with like 8.5 inches of snow at my house. It was awesome. So the kids stayed home from school, and Zoe, my oldest, got to experience like playing in the snow for the first time, really. I mean, it snowed since she was born, but nothing like to where she was old enough to actually have some fun. So she went sledding and did snow angels and all that kind of good stuff. Drank a lot of hot cocoa because that's in her little mind. That's what people do when they when it snows. They sit around and they drink cocoa. So did a lot of that. And then my youngest daughter Audrey, who's just over a year old, she was all bundled up, which was so super cute. But all bundled up and sat in the snow and tried to eat the snow and, you know, that whole thing. So it was all just a really cool experience. Good time. So. A little bit of feedback from last week's episode with Dr. Elisa Batson. She it was funny. When I emailed her in the morning and sent her the link for the podcast, she had said how funny it was because a patient had come into her office that morning and had said that they had just heard her speak on a podcast that came out that day. So it was somebody that listens to this show. Let Dr. Batson know. So kudos to you if you're out there in Nashville or if you're listening to this and you shared that with her. That got back to me. So that was cool. Yeah, I think that it seemed like most of the positioning and what people got a lot out of was the same thing that I got a lot out of, which was A, damn, she's got a hell of a story. But then two, the whole part about like food allergies and intolerances just blew my mind, still blows my mind. I'm not at all surprised because I remember years and years and years and years and years ago, let's say 7 or 8 years ago, I'd have oatmeal with my breakfast almost every day. And then I went and I got just my annual exam, like my annual checkup. And they took some blood work to test for like common allergies. And it revealed that I had this oat allergy, which was so weird because I didn't have any problems with it. So I see that positive allergy test. And then I was like, no, you know, I'm fine. And I eat some oats and then I start breaking out like really bad hives on my stomach, I remember. And so I didn't have any oats for the longest time. And, you know, it's allergies are just funny in that way. I think anything is funny in that way. Once we see imaging, it's just sort of definitive that like this is the way that it is, which, you know, we know that that's not really true. There's now lots of data. Just go look at the New England Journal of Medicine study that was done in the 90s around people with herniated discs and disc protrusions and disc bulges and how like 70% of us are walking around right now with a major disc problem that we have no idea about. It's just once it gets put on that imaging, suddenly like your mind is sort of stuck there and that's what it imagines. So I think a lot of times, and this is going to be a segue into what we're going to talk about today in a little bit longer form, but you know, life in a lot of ways is so much what you make of it, right? And if you think that something's going to hurt, it's probably going to hurt a lot. And I remember early on, one of the first videos I watched of Nicole Sachs, and one of the comments that she had, which I thought I LOL'd when I heard her say it the first time, but it's totally true. If I sit around thinking I'm a piece of shit all day, then I probably am a piece of shit, right? You start to believe what it is that you're saying. I don't really love the word manifest, but that's almost the way that it is. So a lot of what I want to talk about today It's going to be like a hodgepodge of topics. And I'll be back next week with a guest. Not sure which one. There's four interviews currently sitting in the hopper right now to air, and it's just deciding what order they're going to go in. But I figured that initially I would talk a little bit. So I'm wrapping up. I really wanted to finish it last night. I have 17 minutes left according to the Kindle, but I wanted to finish this book that I'm reading that was recommended by Michelle Hintzberger, who was on the podcast several weeks ago that she had talked about, which was At Last a Life, which is by Paul David, and it's a self-published title. You can get a physical copy of it, but it's really expensive on Amazon. If you just buy the Kindle, I think it's like $13 or $14 or $15 or something like that. Well worth it. And I think it's really worth it for people that have struggling chronic pain issues, that the books, you know, they understand the concepts, like they understand this idea of repressed emotions and fear and acceptance and all that kind of stuff. His book is entirely about anxiety. And that in a lot of ways is kind of what TMS really is anxiety. It's anxiety expressing itself through physical pain. You know, if you're not, that's why anxiety is it's a TMS manifestation, or even a, what is the name for it? A symptom imperative, right? So like if you don't have physical pain, maybe you have anxiety instead. So his book is really, really good. So much of what he talks about that is really just leaning into, feelings and thoughts when they come. And if we think about like the whole idea of TMS being that we're repressing negative emotions, and we repress them so much, so frequently, so often that they slip into our subconscious or unconscious, and that, you know, they're out of view. We can't even see what they are. And this is why it's so prevalent in people that have those high adverse childhood experiences study tests or scores. Because when you have something happen to you when you're so little, and you try to, you know, you bury it over time, and then it becomes unconscious, and you may get that. That's what happens with triggering. Like if something happened to you when you were a little kid, or something happened to you in battle, I'm talking about PTSD basically, but you get triggered, and then suddenly you start getting symptoms again, whether that be severe panic or different types of pain, or, you know, whatever the case is. So it's really a lot of interesting stuff. He talks so much about this, but his whole entire thought process and idea and recommendations falls really in line with Steve Ozanich's. And that's just, you know, it is what it is, basically. And you really kind of need to adopt this this sort of confidence about yourself that we don't have. I think when we fall into pain and then the pain becomes chronic, we just kind of sit there and we're scared of so much stuff, whether we're scared of physical activity or whether we're scared to make long-term plans. I was so guilty of that. I remember like not wanting to make any sort of long-term plans, whether it be for trips or different things. I just didn't know what the future held for me. You know, I literally wouldn't want to schedule vacations or anything because I was like, what if I have to have neck surgery and I can't? Which is, you know, it's just crazy that was a part of my life. That was like a year long part of my life, a little bit longer than that, where I just sat there all the time and really thought about that stuff. So I was trying to come up with analogies for this, and that basically like, you know, we're not feeling our feelings and we're not interpreting the things that are coming to us, and we're just repressing and pushing away and trying to fight these feelings all the time. And think about like a boxing fight. There have been boxers over the years, like Floyd Mayweather is kind of the most modern example of this. But the guys that really will sit back and let their adversary or their opponent tire themselves out. It's called rope-a-dope. But there's been boxers over the past 100 years that really have allowed their opponents to continue to punch, and they don't fight it. They just let it come, and whatever it is, it is. And then eventually their opponent tires themselves out. And when that energy is gone, it dissolves and it's not there. And suddenly the boxer that adopted the rope-a-dope style wins. So if you can close your eyes, not if you're driving, but if you can close your eyes and imagine yourself for a second, you have these feelings, whether they're feelings of anxiety or they're feelings of pain. I mean, like my back hurts, my neck hurts, my stomach hurts, or whatever. And we spend so much time, like let's pretend that it's your back, for instance, and you're sitting on the couch and this back pain comes and you start shifting and moving around and stretching and trying to do all this. Even the simple act of just saying like my back doesn't hurt, even though like you know that it does, you're acting against, like it's still, you're doing something active, whether it's with your mind or whether it's moving or twisting or contorting or stretching or whatever the case is. The perhaps the right way to do it, and I'll just go ahead and I'll make the leap and say that the right way to do it, Paul talks about this in his book, and this is in essence what Sarno and Ozanich are talking about, especially in Ozanich's work, is like, if it comes, it comes, so what? And you really just need to let it be there. So if the back pain's going to come, it's going to come, and just let it. And this kind of is also, it's almost like a more cognitive way of doing somatic tracking exercises, where with somatic tracking, if your back hurts, you're paying attention to it. You're watching it. You're not trying to get it to go away. I was telling somebody, this guy James on Facebook a few weeks ago, he was asking like, what do I do when an attack comes, or, you know, when the pain really starts to amp up? And I had said, okay, just for the purpose of this example, let's say that it's your mid back that hurts. Starts to tighten up, starts to feel real bad. If you can literally close your eyes and just imagine yourself staring at that one spot, and sometimes you need to hold your attention there for 15 seconds, sometimes it needs to be a minute or a couple of minutes, but closing your eyes and just looking at it. You're not thinking about anything else. You're not, all you're doing is just observing, watching, staring. And eventually it will go away. It will just retreat. And that's the idea of any sort of physical pain, chronic, anxiety, any of this stuff, that just like allow it to keep coming again, keep punching you, and you're just letting it happen, because eventually it's going to tire itself out. Because the thing that feeds this stuff is the energy that you give back to it. So the more fight that you put up, the more fight that it's going to give back to you. You know, it's impossible almost to keep going with that, trying to run away from it or doing any of that kind of stuff. Whereas if you just allow it to come in, and eventually it's going to go away. And it's tough. When you're in a lot of pain, it's really, really tough. And this is something that will take a lot of practice. But it's something that you can also just spend 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes a day doing, that doesn't take any extra work. It's not sitting down and journaling for 20 minutes, and it's not any of that stuff, but it's literally just watching and observing. And that's a lot of what this stuff is. It's just recognizing that these things are going to happen, and then you will fully recover. And don't put a time limit on it. You know, don't put a meaning like by doing this for a couple minutes a day, you're going to be better in a week or a month or 6 months or whatever it is. But the main idea is that you're sending this message to your nervous system that you're okay, because just by proxy, if there was a threat coming to you, meaning pain, and you were to just sit there and watch it and stare at it, you're telling your nervous system that there is no threat, because ultimately, you running away or you fighting it or whatever, like, that shows that there's a threat. If you just stand there and you just wait for it, there is no threat. I've told this story before, but it reminded me of when I was on a commercial airplane in 2010, and I used to be like petrified. A plane would take off and I would be, I'd like be sweating in the palms, and I would be like shaking, and I would do all this kind of stuff. And then just one time we just did this flight to Dallas, and I remember it was icy on the runway, and they had let us know that, and it was a little bit turbulent. And I literally, it's almost like I just spread my arms out and said, like, whatever happens, happens. If this plane crashes, there's nothing I can do about it, and that's all there is to it. And from that moment on, commercial flights, they just didn't freak me out anymore. Little teeny tiny planes, I don't get enough exposure to them to even really do something like this. But I think the last time I was on one of those little puddle jumper planes was 2013 in Belize with my wife, and I remember it sat like four or five or six people or something like that. That was a little bit different. But as far as like large commercial flights, I was able to get over that fear pretty fast by just having a whatever happens, happens kind of an attitude. And the other thing that I'm thinking too, that Paul talked a lot about in his book, and this is the same reason that the whole thought, and I've been mocked for this on social media before by people, but they'll say, all I have to think about is happy thoughts and I'll be okay. Or all I have to think, you're telling me that all I have to think is positive and then my pain will go away. Like, yeah, right. And it's not at all what I'm saying. That's like one of the worst things you can do. So if you have this big reservoir of piled up negative emotions that you've repressed, like, your beaker is pretty well full anyway. And so you're really starting your day by trying to say all this positivity and positive stuff, and you're laying it on top of negative stuff, and your beaker fills up, and then it overflows, and then you get symptoms and all of this. Paul David in his book talks so much about like mantras and sayings as not being a good thing. So there's a lot of one of the things that I just really, for anybody listening to this, I never say anything out loud about this, but memes with mantras and positive thinking and positive quotes and all that kind of stuff, I just don't love it, because Yeah, I just don't love it because I just feel like one of the challenges is just any sort of a positive thinking mantra or a meme or something like that. I just feel like it's A, it seems like it's not really doing you any good to continue just saying those things. But ultimately, then it's like you're focused so much on the thing. And then if the anxiety or the pain doesn't go away, you go and you find another mantra or another saying, and then you're just overstressing yourself and overstressing your nervous system to continue to try and go and find this solution to a problem that doesn't really even need fixing. Like you're just, you're fried, like you're toast. You need to give yourself a break. Like that's the whole idea. So by running away or fighting, running away or fighting negative or negative things or negative emotions or pain or whatever it is, you're not helping your cause. Like it's the same as all these other things that I'm talking about. So, I guess that's really sort of the main point that I want to drive home. This is a super short episode today. We're probably going to wrap up in under 20 minutes, but it's an important one. So if you think about the whole idea of like leaning in and letting these things happen and saying more or less like, you know, bring it on, there is no fight. And simply by going out and living your life, I've said for a long time, I've said on this podcast for every episode that I've done for, this is episode 56 or 57 when this one airs, every single episode, or at least ever since I started this podcast, I've said that to me, the biggest thing, the number one thing that you can do to work towards recovery and cure yourself of your symptoms is going to be by getting to absolute maximum physical activity. Sarno described that in his first couple of books. But I think that people ultimately, you know, they wait. And I don't even think that part of it necessarily is like the fear around having more pain from physical exertion or physical activity. But I think maybe part of it is just a lost interest, which wasn't something that I had even thought about until up a couple of weeks ago when a listener had said something about they just didn't have interest for physical activity. And I think that maybe that's part of it too, like finding something that is stimulating and challenging enough. You know, if home workouts, working out by yourself in your garage or your basement, if that doesn't stimulate you, or going to the gym and jumping on an elliptical, if that doesn't stimulate you, like go do something else. Go to like a spin class, go to an Orange Theory Fitness, go to a CrossFit gym, go to group workouts, go to kickboxing, like go do something. You know, invest some cash and invest some time and some resources and energy into something that you'll find stimulating. Maybe it, and you don't have to pay for it. Like maybe it's just you have a friend that you really like and you guys go on a walk together twice a week, or you go on a hike or something like that. But being able to get to maximum physical activity, and connection, like overall, like human connection and, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's all, there's so many episodes coming up that I'm talking about a lot of these things. I'm trying not to spoil all of it. But all these things are super important. And I think that leaning in and just sort of letting it be, again, if you have the tiger coming to you and it's rushing at you and you run away, that tiger's going to chase your ass until it catches you. And if you have a tiger running at you, and you go to fight it, right? The tiger's not going to stop until it wins. And in a lot of ways, like this is the pain and the anxiety that you face every single day. The flip side of that would be letting it come to you. This is why when you hear about like bear attacks and shit like happening out in the wilderness and people playing dead and that's the only reason they lived. I feel like I've heard that story several times. I play dead. That's the only way that I'm here today. There's a lot of truth to that, and there's a lot of truth to that with the way that a lot of this chronic conditions really function, right? The moment that you stop going around doctor to doctor trying to find a cure for something that doesn't need curing, or the moment that you run around just convinced that something is wrong, like you're telling your nervous system that there is a problem. That's why all that time that I spent going from doctor to doctor and place to place and specialist to specialist and sitting in MRI tubes and getting acupuncture and driving to Montana to have my neck worked on and going to a Rolfer and going to three chiropractors a week. All of this stuff was just convincing my mind and myself that I had this incurable problem. Whereas if I would have just let it be and chilled out and stopped fighting it, like ultimately those problems would have gone away. And it's like starting to get me a little bit emotional, like talking about it. But it is of the utmost importance that, you know, continuing to fight and continuing to try and pursue and push and find a cure for something that doesn't even need a cure. you're shooting yourselves in the foot. And so really that's kind of what I want to drive home today. Coming up in the next few weeks, I've got a bit of a travel schedule, actually. I love traveling. I like traveling with my family, and it's cool to go to WrestleMania and such. But I am on a new venture. And so there's a few things coming up. Number one, Caitlin Michaels from the Mind Body Mastery podcast is actually coming to Seattle, and her and I are going to be doing a show on Sunday. So if you have questions or in particular things that you would want addressed, send me a DM, or you can also email me at eddie@themindandfitnesspodcast.com. There's actually been a lot of suggestions that people want talked about. So I feel like this could be like a two-parter, a three-parter, but or just a really, really long one-parter. But Caitlin and I are getting together on Sunday, so that'll be pretty awesome. And then I am going to be traveling to Chicago, Schaumburg, actually, to be specific, but Chicagoland area. That's coming up the week of the 18th, I think. And then the first week of March, which I think is the second, I'm going to be in Maui, Hawaii, with my family. So actually, if you listen to this show and you're in Maui, shoot me a DM and please let me know. I get the statistics on the show. I actually don't think there are any listeners in Hawaii, but maybe there is. Shoot me a message. I would love to do a meetup or something if for some reason you are in Maui the first week of March. Second week of March, I am back in the Chicago area. And then I'm done traveling for a little bit, at least until May, where I go back to Chicago again. And then my trips to the Midwest hopefully will be very few and far between. So this has been the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Please leave us a review on iTunes if you like what it is that you hear and if you get value out of this. I really do love hearing from you guys. I think it's up to 66 reviews. Somebody left me a 2-star review recently. I got a 3-star review maybe a month ago from this guy who said he was a dad of 3. And I think maybe that was just a mistake that he left a 3-star review, because everything he wrote in the review very much was a 5-star. But then somebody left me a 2 and didn't leave a comment about it. So, but I think I'm providing value to the majority of you. So I love you guys. Thank you so much for continued support on the podcast. We've got a lot of awesome shows coming up. Like I said, there's 4 literally sitting in the hopper right now, ready to air, which is basically 2 months of episodes that are going to be available to you very soon. So again, check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. Join our group, the Deleters of Pain. It's not very interactive, which I would like for it to be. So if you're in that group, you know, start leaving some messages, ask some questions. You know, it's your place, right? Like I'm here to help you guys. I want you to get your lives back. I want you to go and do all the things that you love doing before this perceived pain came along. But yeah, love you guys. Thanks again so much for the support.